You're listening to the NarniWeb.com podcast, and I'm your host, Rillian. Today, Glumpel and I are here again, and we're going to be discussing basically our transition episode to Voyage of the Dawn Treader. And it's actually based on a forum thread that Fantasia Kitty started up called What Went Wrong. So, first of all, Glumpel, welcome back.
Great to be back once again.
It is.
In different time zones still.
Different time zones, although we're starting to work out the differences, starting to get some regularity. Although term starts in about 2 weeks.
The fun times.
I've had a lot of reading to do. I've got a stack of books here I've been reading. So, the way Fantasia Kitty actually had it, but I'll just go ahead. It was a poll, and I'll go ahead and list the poll choices that she had. First, poor marketing. Number two, bad release date. Number three, PC is generally the least favorite book. Number four, no specified audience, i.e. too dark but no blood. 5, people just didn't like the movie. Number 6, all of the above. Or number 7, other, explain below. So there you have it. So how about it, Glumpel? I mean, you've been collecting some resources on what went on different films that came out, and what do you think went wrong?
Well, obviously, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe was a huge hit. It made over $700 million. It was a bigger hit than anybody expected it to be. But despite that, after Wardrobe came out, people generally liked it, but I didn't sense a lot of excitement for a Narnia sequel. And even leading up to the film, I just felt like there was a lot of excitement over other films, but Narnia was very below the radar. At the time, I kind of felt like that would help it. Then I think that Disney, a lot of their marketing strategy, they kind of wanted to come out of nowhere. Like with Pirates of the Caribbean 3, they had a trailer for Pirates 3 until March.
Until later, yeah.
They didn't have a real trailer. And so Pirates kind of came out of nowhere, although obviously they had that's not a good comparison because the second movie had just come out a year before. So I think Disney, they kind of knew that other movies like Dark Knight or Indiana Jones were a lot more hyped up than theirs, so they had to kind of have shock value. So that'd be the number one reason I would give. I think that also people went to see Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe not because of Chronicles of Narnia, but because of Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. That is obviously the definitive classic of the series. And so I think that – and also Wardrobe didn't really end on a big cliffhanger. If I had to pick the biggest reason, I would probably say timing. I would say it was sandwiched between Iron Man and Indiana Jones. And then since there wasn't that much excitement to begin with, you know – it had been released, I think, Christmas time. I think it would have done a lot better.
You know, I think the like you said, I don't really find much to disagree with you there. Although, I think a lot of people again didn't really know about it, so you can kind of blame the marketing there. A lot of people didn't really know it was coming out because, again, the market sort of, in addition to the release date of, well, you know, they've been hearing about Iron Man and they've been hearing about Indiana Jones, so there's not really a lot of room in their minds and in their time they're watching trailers and stuff to notice Prince Caspian.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of it was, on one hand, they were following it up with, it's like they wanted to break off so much from Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe with just saying, oh, it's a Narnia is darker than you remember. It's more savage mm-hmm. than you remember. I think they did so much of that, stressing so much of that, that I wonder if really it was a point where they really needed to, where people were kind of wondering, okay, maybe it's different, but what's this one about? I mean, they never really mentioned Miraz. They never mentioned Miraz in the trailers. They never establish the plot that it's Caspian's uncle or even really who Caspian is. You know, okay, it's someone named Caspian, but you know, a lot of people I think you and I talked to were wondering, is Caspian a bad guy? You know, and
yeah.
I think that the fact that they didn't, it's like the film didn't really know what to do with itself in marketing. I think it came across better with the actual film, but as far as the marketing and who the film was for, I think was much more ambiguous.
I think that was intentional. And yeah, you're probably right. It probably ultimately wasn't a good decision. It probably would have been good, I think, to focus even more on the Pevensies. Like a lot of the marketing, I think, revolved around, you know, I am Prince Caspian, a lot of that. And I think the whole idea was that they kind of wanted people to be, oh, who's this new character, Caspian? What's that all about? And I think they wanted to get the kind of the strange idea out there that, oh, it's 1,300 years later for Narnia, only 1 year for them.
Yeah.
That was kind of a strange idea that I think they thought people would be curious about. Maybe they were, but it probably would have been better to focus more on the plot. And one of the options is Prince Caspian is generally the least favorite book. A lot of people I've talked to, actually fairly recently, like more than one person that I've talked to who's, you know, read the books, they're not big fans, but they read the books, mm-hmm. have said that when they went into the theater, they were expecting to see a story that took place on a ship. Like they got Prince Caspian mixed up with Don Treader. And like I was just talking to a person I've been friends with forever, and she knows I'm into Narnia, and I'm talking about the movie, and she's like, wait a minute, isn't this isn't Don Treader? And then another person just last week had read the books. Like most people just don't really remember Prince Caspian. For a lot of people I've talked to, that's the only book they haven't read, and that's a big part of it, I think.
I do know one guy, he's one of my coaches in my fencing club, who actually, he and his now fiance went to see it because that was his favorite book. Because it was the most different to all the others, and I think that's from his perspective. And so he said, oh yeah, Prince Caspian is my favorite, and he actually really liked the movie. So there's going to be anomalies in every situation, I suppose.
Yeah. But, you know, without a doubt, I mean, Prince Caspian is usually... I mean, tell me if you disagree, but, you know, people I know and myself and polls on Narnia indicate that Caspian is, in general, the least favorite book.
Yeah, I think Caspian next to perhaps The Magician's Nephew.
I don't know. I think there's a pretty big pocket of people who love The Magician's Nephew.
Well, what do you think would be the next least favorite?
I'm not sure. I think
Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe usually comes around number three.
Yeah.
Top two usually tend to be Voyage and The Silver Chair.
Yeah.
And The Horse and His Boy are
usually
the top three.
Is usually up there. But I think that I don't know how to pick. I'm not sure if I would pick one that is generally near the bottom. I think Caspian is consistently dead last.
We can go to the thread right now if we want to. There's a poll, I'm sure. But I think, you know, for me, definitely Prince Caspian, although I enjoyed it, was my least favorite, and there were, you know, a lot of my... It's interesting because if I were to list probably my top 10 favorite moments in the entire Chronicles, then maybe two of them would be from Prince Caspian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like this whole fight between Peter and Miraz, and then maybe little bits with the Pevensies and Trumpkin. But still, I think it's my least favorite, though I enjoy the book. And but again, I enjoy the movie more. So
I wouldn't go that far, just for the record. I think that still.
Well, no, I enjoyed the movie Prince Caspian more than the movie The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
So, oh, okay.
I think it was a better film, and I'm wondering if, you know, because it's not like it was. Well, the book Prince Caspian wasn't as good as Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and the movie wasn't as good. I think they could have probably done a better job marketing to get people to know, hey, this is maybe a step up
mm-hmm.
from what the first one was.
I just wonder if maybe this film was kind of doomed in a sense to begin with. And that...
You've such a fatalist worldview. Go ahead.
The Marsh Wiggle, I know. Okay, so I just wonder in a sense the film was kind of doomed to begin with. Not completely, but I mean, it had an initial disadvantage, I think, of first off, and not being a very popular book, not even a very, you know, well-known book. And then, so it was kind of an uphill battle. And then I think the release date being sandwiched between Iron Man and Jones was just kind of that was it. I should say right now that Prince Caspian did not flop. It made just over half of what Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe made, so obviously it wasn't a huge success. But it's still a decent box office. Obviously, it just a few weeks ago crossed the $400 million mark. Some numbers for other movies here. Speed Racer, which obviously came out a week before casting. Big flop of the summer. To be fair, we'll do the domestic numbers. Made $43 million domestically. Caspian made $142 million domestically, just for the record. Mm-hmm. The Incredible Hulk made $113 million. Kung Fu Panda did well, $214 million. That beat Caspian. Wally made more than Caspian in the United States, $220 million, but it made far less internationally. So as far as worldwide box office, Caspian actually beat Wally.
That's kind of surprising to me. It really is, because I would have expected a film like Wally to appeal much more to an international audience, just for the language. It's not really an English speaking people or anything. It's something I would think that would appeal equally well to everyone.
I do think that Narnia is more well known outside the United States in general, obviously, like the UK and that kind of thing. So, and Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe also did extremely well internationally. So, Caspian made 142 in the United States and 246 internationally. So, it was still a pretty solid international success. So, obviously, we have to, officially consider Prince Caspian a big disappointment, because it's a sequel to a movie that made $740 million worldwide, and it only made just over $400 million. But still, this is not a dagger in the heart to the series. It still did decent box office for its genre.
I think part of the problem, though, is that it was an expensive film to make.
Yes, and, I think in the future, I still, well, this is, we can talk about this later, I still think we're going to see at least a few more movies in the series, but I don't think we're going to see $200 million budgets ever again for a movie series, unless it becomes another huge success in the future.
Yeah, well, it seems like they got some more, I don't know. Maybe it's not really fair to say they paid more for the actors on this one, because the last one had Ray Winston, and you had, of course, you always have Liam Neeson. Mm-hmm. But now, again, bring up the numbers again of Prince Caspian internationally and Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe internationally.
Let me pull that one up right here.
Because I'd like to know, because obviously in the U.S. it didn't do as well, but...
Yeah, although maybe it was successful in both places, but okay. Yeah. Box Office Mojo here, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Okay, Narnia was 200 and Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe was 292 in the United States and 453 internationally.
Whoa!
A combined total of $745 million worldwide.
Over $400 million internationally. It did more internationally than Prince Caspian did altogether. That's pretty significant.
Yeah, it did.
That's amazing to me.
Yeah, see, once again, Wardrobe was, and I think this is why Wardrobe, even at the time, obviously in retrospect, but even at the time, it felt like Wardrobe was, it did kind of come out of nowhere as far as everyone else was concerned. Yeah. You know, more people were looking at King Kong and stuff, but it did kind of, to me, always felt like a movie that somehow it was just meant to do well. I did not expect it to make $700 million. But it was a movie that felt like it was meant to do pretty well, just because it was such a beloved story. Whereas Prince Caspian, I feel like it's going to be an up. I do think the whole series will still probably get made, but it's going to be an uphill battle, because it's not something where there's a lot of Narnia fans. There's a lot of people that love The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, but there aren't a lot of people who are fans of the whole series.
It's going to be interesting when you look at some, like Prince Caspian. Again, probably would have done better as a Christmas release. However, is not really meant for Christmas release. Good grief, Prince Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is about snow and winter, and you have a.
I don't agree with that. Well, I don't think that.
I think
Lord of the Rings or King Kong doesn't have a lot to do with snow, and yet
I think Well, I think, I don't know. I just think the fairy tale. No, I think the kind of fairy tale feel that the Lion, the Witch, the Wardrobe had just works better as a holiday film. Whereas normally, I think you would expect a more action film to be more of the summer kind of flick. So,
yeah, I do wonder. Did they? Which came first, chicken or the egg? Did they decide, oh, Prince Caspian's a big action film, we should set it in summer? Or did they first set it in summer and say, well, we have to put more action in the film? That's what I've been wondering for a while. You see what I'm saying?
Really? Well, no, I think they definitely would have said, well, it's going to have action, so we need to put it in the summer. Although, well, I don't know. Not necessarily, because it was going to be released at Christmas, remember?
And you're right. That's true. So I wonder if – I think the film does have a little too much action, and they were feeling – it may be at least in the editing room, they were feeling the pressure to get as much action in there as possible. I think that Prince Caspian, it's a family, it's a pretty intense movie, but it's a family movie that, you know, some teens and adults can also get some enjoyment out of. I think it's very well suited to be a Christmas film. I think that the fact that it doesn't have snow in it is, to be honest, that's kind of a ridiculous way to look at it. I think there are plenty of successful people that don't have aren't.
I was just saying that I just think that the whole it's just the idea, the theme around Christmas. I mean, it's sort of a Christmas winter movie anyway.
I mean, look at other movies that have been released at that time. Lord of the Rings and King Kong are perfect examples. They don't really have a fairy tale feel. They're obviously pretty intense in their fantasy, but I think that Caspian, it needs to be more of an event kind of movie than just another summer movie. I think it needs to be more of an event kind of.
I don't think Prince Caspian had the kind of magical feel that even, say, the Lord of the Rings had. I mean, I don't know. There's maybe some parts, but I think it didn't really. I think it came across more as an action film than as a fantasy film.
It did.
I think it works better around Christmas time.
So I think, I agree. I think that both things. There probably should have been less action in the film to begin with, and then you could make it put it. Then you could release it at Christmas time. That would certainly fit more. But I think either way, I think as the film is now, it would have worked better.
It would have, because of the timing with Iron Giant and the Indy 4, it probably would have
worked better. Iron Man, Iron Giant,
Iron Giant, Iron Man. This is a great film.
But
I don't know why. I don't know why I just get that.
That's a great film. But
okay. So what do you think? I mean. For the marketing with Voyage of the Dawn Treader, obviously the film's not made yet, and there's a lot of unknowns there, but what do you think can be done to sort of prevent it from being I don't want to say another Prince Caspian is in. Prince Caspian was a flop. It wasn't, like you said. But I think, like, for one thing, I think moving it to Christmas 2009 release date would be a huge help. Or 2010.
Obviously, that there'd be consequences of that as far as it would be even further away from Prince Caspian, although maybe that would be better. I don't know, since Caspian didn't do as well. But it's going to be very, very interesting to see. And I'm not just saying that as a fan. I mean, just in general, it's going to be really, really interesting because, you know, we were just talking about how, Prince Caspian book, it's not very well known. And even where it is known, it's generally people's least favorite. And we put at least part of the blame on that for Prince Caspian's relatively disappointing box office performance. But Dawn Treader is quite well known. And like I was just saying, I think a lot of people get Dawn Treader and Caspian mixed up. And so now we have Dawn Treader, which is typically fairly high on the list, I think. I mean, maybe I'm biased because it's my favorite book. But at the very least, a lot of people –
Silverchair was your favorite book.
Oh, no. Well, the first time I read it, Silverchair was. Silverchair is still up there for me. But since then
– Voyage is my favorite.
Yeah, Voyage has consistently become my favorite ever since. But I think that whether people – we can talk about if it's people's favorite or not. But I think people, for some reason, they remember Dawn Treader very vividly. Maybe it's because it's so different and it really stands out. I think Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe and Dawn Treader are, I think, the two books that people – obviously Wardrobe more so than Dawn Treader. But those two books are the ones that really people kind of remember, oh, yeah, that has a ship in it or something like that. And so I think that gives Dawn Treader initially a better advantage than Prince Caspian, even though
Plus
maybe Prince Caspian – yes, and Reaper Teaches Back. Great. And we get to see hopefully more of him.
Oh, of course we'll see more of him. But
yeah.
I think another thing, you know, that will help if they were to, I mean, yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, with Harry Potter 7 and 8, or I guess it's 7 that got pushed back, you know, see how that affects it at all. But probably won't, in my opinion. But the, if you were to push it back, I think it probably would benefit more from a Christmas release, partly because it's that time of year where families are together. You have a lot of family get-togethers, and a lot of the time people are, hey, what can we do? Well, you know, we have to do something indoors because it's cold out. Let's go to a movie. Unless, of course, you're in Florida, then it's always summer. But,
right.
no, but seriously, I think Thanksgiving and Christmas time are great times for when people are going to go see a movie again and again. I think part of what helped Lion was the Wardrobe. I went to see it, I think, at least 5 times with friends. So, and a lot of us had seen it before. So that was a case where, you know, we just went and see it again and again. And I think that would probably help Don Treader. But, I think, like you were saying, the fact that it is a little more well-known would probably help it. And it just, I think it's going to be more like, I'll tell you what it's going to be more like. It's going to be more like Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Because there were a lot of unknowns before we saw the movie. And here's what I mean when I say it's going to be like Lion, the Witch, the Wardrobe. We knew who the director was. We'd seen his past work, but we hadn't seen him doing this kind of film.
Mm-hmm.
We also hadn't, we didn't know what kind of tone it was going to be having. We didn't know, I mean, at least for me, there was a lot of uncertainty about Andrew Adamson. I started to feel better. But especially when I saw, okay, he's getting Weta Workshop involved. You know, he's getting these people who are really love the books involved. So, again, there's a lot of unknowns. But I think if they were to market the film really as it is, it's as a Narnian adventure, and actually show a little bit of what the plot is going to be like, I think that would help.
It is the fact that Don Treader is so different. I'm not sure. That's one of the reasons it's going to be so interesting, is that I'm not sure if that's going to help or hurt it. Because you would generally think, I guess your first instinct since Prince Caspian underperformed was, okay, taking the franchise in a completely new direction is great. On the other hand, maybe you'd say, maybe you could say that the fact that Prince Caspian was so different, maybe that was part of the reason it didn't do as well.
Or at least was marketed as being so different.
Right. And it is very different. But maybe it was marketed as being more different than it actually was. But so is it going to... Sure. And then it's one of the scary things is that right now it's got a May 2010 release date, and it's set, a week... It's 1 week after Iron Man 2? It's 1 week?
Yes, I think this is 1 week after. Well, maybe 2 weeks.
One or two.
I think Iron Man 2 comes out in late April.
It's very close to Iron Man 2, which
it's like
I think
an omen, bad omen.
Disney's got So, but also you've got the first part of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows coming out in November. So if they move it to later, they'll have to take that into consideration. It almost feels like this just not quite a place for this movie, but it's going to be. Yeah. Caspian was really interesting to watch how that was going to do because, like I said, I had the feeling that Wardrobe was, people liked it and it did well, but I didn't feel like there was a lot of excitement for it. And I was still, like Mark Johnson said, the Prince Caspian was the film that was going to tell us if audiences have really embraced this franchise. And it seems like they haven't quite yet. They haven't thrown it out, but it's not like Harry Potter where – even if a movie stinks, people are still going to go see the Harry Potter movie because it's Harry Potter. And so Don Treader, they're going to have to earn their audience. The franchise has not completely been embraced yet.
You know, one thing I think they should definitely do is I saw them doing more with The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, but I didn't. Maybe I was just at the wrong place at the wrong time, but I didn't see them marketing the books as strongly with Prince Caspian.
Oh, that's true. That's a great point.
Yeah, I think for Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, they started remarketing the books. They had new cover artwork. It was really cool to see. They had them all on all these bookshelves. But for Prince Caspian, I thought, I went to a bookstore and there was some Narnia stuff and they had some Prince Caspian stuff there, but it wasn't being marketed per se. And I think they should definitely redo that with the Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
And Walden Media, didn't do as much marketing as far as, you know, for wardrobe, they had Motive Entertainment was doing all that stuff with the NarniaResources.com. And
they had the ambassadors for Narnia. I was one of them showing up to my youth group and stuff.
Me too. And they had that Narnia, you know, sneak peek events that were going on. And Douglas Gresham even appeared at a few of them. I went to one of them where they were showing an unfinished version of the 9-minute trailer to churches and stuff. And that was such a successful marketing campaign, I thought. And they had absolutely none of that with Prince Caspian. And so it'll be interesting to see if they go back to that for Dawn Treader.
Yeah, well, I think, definitely. It would, you know, I think the marketing was so intense. People called the trailer, I think, the Narnia roadblock for the first
one. Yeah.
You could not, if you were surfing the net, you could not hear about the trailer. You could not miss it. You know, you would have had to purposely, the Narnia trailer, I'm not going to watch it.
Right. And it was attached to Star Wars also. That was huge.
Oh, yes.
And it's interesting. A lot of the marketing for – aside from that, a lot of the marketing for Wardrobe happened kind of behind the scenes, you know, like where they were – like they were promoting it using the book. So if you went into a bookstore, you might see it. And they were – you know, they had – Motive Entertainment was doing their thing with visiting churches and stuff. It was the kind – they were doing like a little bit at a time. It wasn't the kind of thing where they had all these – you know, all these TV spots everywhere and the trailer was attached to every movie. It was a lot of it happened kind of behind the scenes, and that's why the success of Wardrobe came as a surprise to a lot of people because it was kind of under the radar.
Yeah.
Whereas Prince Caspian was too, and I was, you know, Fantasia Kitty kept telling me she was really concerned about that Disney wasn't doing enough with Prince Caspian. I was saying, no, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's going to come out of nowhere. And I'll say – I never did tell her this. But I'll say it right now, Fantasia Kitty, it looks like you were right, at least for the most part. They definitely should have done more to get the word out there about Prince Caspian.
Yeah, well, that's why I never make any prophecies. That way I don't have to make a public apology.
That's
no,
right.
I'm just kidding.
But that's no fun. I will say that
Sorcery Sun Vengeance was not going to be a big deal.
Right. And I will say initially – 2 weeks before the film came out, you know, we had, I think it was about then, we had a poll on the homepage saying how much do you think Caspian is going to make opening weekend in the United States, of course, because it was only released.
I guess over $500 million, I think, if I remember, something like that.
Just opening weekend.
Oh, opening weekend.
Yes, opening weekend. And about a week and a half maybe before it came out, I said $55 million. I said, I don't know, guys. I have a bad feeling about this, which ended up making $56 million. Then, just a few days before the movie came out, I guess I just got sucked into all the Narnia Web excitement. I said, you know what? People are like 65, maybe closer to 70, which is closer to what people were predicting it was going to be. So if I had just stuck with my initial prediction, it would have been fine.
You got swayed.
I'll never listen to Narnia Webbers again.
No, they're evil.
Although I think the option that won that poll was it was going to be the biggest opening of all time. So, yeah, be careful about listening to Narnia Webbers.
Yeah.
And then when I said, like, you know, how much is it going to gross ultimately, I think, like, people thought it was going to gross, like, $2 billion or something like that. Uh-huh. So we're not the best box office analysts out there.
No. Well, it's going to be an interesting next – oh, my goodness. What is it, a year and a half?
Already. And, of course,
Michael
Apted, new director, new character. And then Dawn Treader, of course, it's critically important that people fall in love with Eustace because he's got to carry the series after this. So
I think – and that's the one thing. We'll talk about him maybe later. I announced him in one of the episodes. But I think the act they have is going to do good. I mean, I'd like to go see The Son of Rambo, actually.
I actually don't want to see anything else. Anything else with him in it. I'd just like to see him as Eustace.
Well, of course, you're a purist. But I actually kind of want to be able to judge his acting ability. He seems like he's going to do a good job from what I've seen of him. Although he's really, really small, which is important, because I hope he doesn't go through a growth spurt or something in the next, you know, few months.
Right. Yeah,
well,
it's...
If they didn't do any filming, it wouldn't be so bad if they didn't chronological order.
But you know, okay. I think that... as far as just briefly talking about the future of the series, I think that I'd still be pretty surprised if Silverchair didn't get made. After that, because you know you're still using another one of, you're still using Eustace, it's still connected. But after that, whichever way they go, unless they do Last Battle next, which I don't think they would do, it'd be unlikely.
I don't think so, no.
They have to really feel good about the franchise to keep going, because it's either going to be a prequel going way back, or it's going to be a completely new story with completely new characters and Horse and His Boy.
I think it could be such a great movie.
I did too. And so I'm fairly confident, and I hope. Oh my gosh, how heartbreaking it would be if I didn't get to see Puddleglum. But I am still fairly confident Silverchair will get made, and then after that, it's a big unknown. But Don Treader is going to tell us a lot if it does. I think it has to do better than Prince Caspian. The franchise is not necessarily in trouble, but if Don Treader performs just like Prince Caspian, I think we'll start to see a little bit of doubt in Disney's mind, maybe. Even though I think Disney, they're kind of viewed as these meanie people who are ready to pull the plug at the first sign of trouble. But
yeah.
Everything I've seen is they're rooting for the series. They really, really want it to work. They passed up
like
Lord of the Rings. They passed Harry Potter.
Fox has always got their hand on the Terminate TV show button, like they
have
Firefly, you know.
And they don't. Both Disney and Walden Media, they really, really, really want this series to work. And right now, Disney's not panicking. I think they're just going to sit down and think, okay, what can we do? How can we get the series back on track here? The franchise is not in trouble, but Don Treader is going to tell us a lot, I think, about the future. It's going to be really, really interesting.
It's going to be really epic.
Epic, it is. And my favorite book, so of course, I got a lot going on this next
movie. They better get it right. Well, Glum Puddle, this has been terrific. I appreciate it.
It is, and it's going to be epic.
Yes, indeed. And until next time, I'm not sure what we're going to be doing, but now we are on the Don Treader.
We are on the voyage.
Yes, the voyage of Narnia fans.
Sitting out for, obviously, we'll talk about the Caspian DVD Blu-ray, but so right now we're pretty much
in
Don Treader mode right now.
We are in Don Treader mode.
Make it official.
All right.
It's today, September 22nd at 2:43 p.m. my time, and it's what your time?
It is currently 7:43.
Okay. At this time, September 22nd, 2008, we are officially in Don Treader mode.
Yes. So, what do we say?
Let's sail.
I was going to say let's sail, but what's it?
Further up and further in?
Well, there's always further up and further in, but I was trying to think, is there one just for Voyage of the Dawn Treader?
Then it's after this podcast, the adventure really begins.
Well said. All right. Thank you, Glum Puddle.
All right.
If you want to email us with your thoughts or comments on the podcast, then you can email us rillian@narniweb.com or glumpuddle@narniweb.com. That's all for now, and this is Rillian signing off. Thanks for listening.